be labeled a terrorist for daring to speak my mind. It's becoming more precarious for failing to toe the line in what I believe in. Sounds like freedom to me, like the Sons of Liberty in 1773, dumping 45 tons of tea. Didn't know I was in the minority of people who love the earth. I hope it becomes a priority before it gets any worse. And what I believe in looks like heaven to me, where angels take the shape of the trees, giving us clean air to breathe. Rivers to the mountains and streams.
All right, I guess we're back, or maybe here in the first place. Don't know what happened. Someday they'll perfect this technology. You know, we like to say we're on the cutting edge of technology with all this computer broadcasting business and all that, but I don't know. I'm not so pleased with it. I'm an old radio guy, and you know, it's one of those things in a regular terrestrial radio studio. If you have 3 seconds worth of dead air, I'm one of those people that would just hit the roof and go crazy and just be totally, you know, totally pissed off. And it happens with regularity with the computer deal, with the streaming and all. And it's nobody's fault, I guess. It's just technology that's just not quite there yet. It will be. And anyway, so I guess I'll start over talking about what I was going to talk about today. There went 10 minutes worth of the show. I'm glad all of you that are still there on the chat room are still here. That's an awful thing to happen when you start out the program, because people tune in, and people that aren't necessarily on the chat room, and they'll tune in to the show, nothing there. And, of course, what do you do when you turn the dial to where you're supposed to go and there's nothing there? You go someplace else. And so you can just kiss your audience goodbye for the day, a lot of it anyway. So, well, one of those things. Just have to have a chin up and go on. Anyway, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. You can give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind today, as long as it's germane to something we're talking about anyway. I don't want to exchange recipes or anything like that today, but the JonBenet Ramsey story, of course, a big story. We're not going to go into that today, but I'm glad that finally it appears that maybe, anyway, probably a big maybe, they might be able to, justice may be able to prevail and to be a good thing after 10 years. But I'll tell you this, I don't want to go in depth into that subject, but that whole JonBenet Ramsey thing, back when it happened, I had no idea who did it, and I never suspected the parents, and I don't know, you know, I never had an idea who might have done it. But I'll tell you this. I think that little girls like her, and those film clips we've seen over and over and over again, I think little girls like her being put into these beauty pageants and being made to look, you know, look like little Jezebels, my mother would say, I think is absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. And, you know, I hope in no way did that ever lead to what happened. But I see those little beauty pageants of kids that age, and I think they're just awful. I really do think they're awful. They're mothers trying to act out their fantasies from when they were young. It's something they never quite achieved when they were young, and they use their children to do that, and it's a terrible thing to do to a child, in my opinion. All right? Anyway, we I did mention that I watched a movie last night, something I don't get to do very often, rented a DVD, and Anthony Hopkins' movie, The World's Fastest Indian. And I'm one of these guys that I don't like to necessarily... I saw Siriano a while back, and I thought, well, that was a great movie. And it was. It was a really great movie. But, man, it was deep, and it was thought-provoking, and that's a good thing, I guess. But once in a while, you just want to see a movie just... When it's over with, you can get up and go, yeah, that's good. I feel good after watching that movie. And that's what that World Fastest Indian movie is all about that I watched last night. Pretty good. So I will recommend that. Also want to mention at the get-go today that many of you called and wrote and emailed and I don't know what all wanted to know about the song we played yesterday, My Strange Nation, and they wanted to know who sang it. And I was remiss. And not letting you know who it was, and it was a gal by the name of Susan Werner. Susan Werner. So you can Google her. She's got a lot of good music on the internet, Susan Werner. And we had so many people contact us about that song that we'll play it again in a little while. We'll do it again, okay? Taking a look at the chat room here to see what's happening at the Head On Radio Network chat room. And we hope the stream is up and running and all thing. I guess we are. Yeah. All right. We are. Didn't want to go blabbering on here if things weren't just absolutely perfect. That's not very professional to talk about, that is. Hey, big news today. The federal court striking down the illegal wiretapping, but don't worry. The Bush people will protest that. They'll appeal that, and they will win if it gets to the Supreme Court, and it probably will. It'll be overturned. I mean, it's that simple. The ACLU will lose that eventually. You know they will. And if they take it to all the way to the Supreme Court, anything that's taken to the Supreme Court is going to end up just the way this administration wants it. And, you know, we said, and a lot of you said, and we couldn't get the rest of America to go along with us, and we couldn't get the damn Democrats in the Senate and the House to go along with us, at least fight it. The last two nominees, the last two appointments to the Supreme Court were the biggest things that Bush will do in office to make sure his legacy lasts for a couple of decades. And, you know, they will overturn it. The Supreme Court will march to whatever drumbeat Bush wants them to march to now. I mean, that's what I'm thinking anyway. I'm thinking they will. Who knows? One of my old high school classmates is on the Ohio Supreme Court, and they're having to see whether their governor now will be publicly excoriated for all of his illegal activities, Taft, up there. What a disgrace he's been. Hey, I want to talk to you about something today. And you can talk about it, too. You can call us at 866-546-5254, and I hope you will weigh in on this. I want to talk to you today about allowing the Republicans to have their way with us in the press again. Now, I know we're at a big disadvantage. I know in the radio, anyway, they're probably in listeners a 1,000 to 1. Maybe it's not quite that bad, but it's many, 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 maybe 100 to 1 at least. At least it'll be 100 to 1 that they listenership they have over what we have. And the cable TV, same thing. You know, that liberal media that they talk about is virtually non-existent. Always say what it is. It's comparing it like, you know, I'm always talking about it. I'm a big Ohio State Buckeye fan. A stadium holds about 104,000 people now. It's like them having control of the public address system in the stadium, and we got one of those little cheerleader megaphones down on the sideline. That's the comparison, and it's real. That is a real comparison. It really is. So we have to work extra hard, and we have to get a better effort out there at getting our word out. You know, nothing disturbs me anymore, and I'm going to make some local people here mad. I get invited to talk to speak at with the local Democratic clubs around in the counties around here, surrounding, and we've got a big area, and we've got a lot of Democratic clubs here, but at least once a month I'll go out and speak to one of the clubs, and I do enjoy that, but it always fascinates me that I'll get up and usually talk about, you know, what my pet peeve is. My pet peeve is the disparity that there is in the media between the right wing and us, and it's huge. And I'll get up and give a talk about that and have a question and answer period and talk for 10 or 15 minutes more about it during questions and answers. And you know, when the club meetings take off again, you know what they talk about? Going out and knocking on doors and phone banks. Now, I've got nothing against knocking on doors and phone banks. But, hey, I'm waving a big red flag over here. We can reach a lot of people through this medium, a lot more than you can out knocking on doors and using a phone bank. But the Democrats don't get it. They never have, and I'm beginning to think they never will. Oh, sure. I don't know how many of you know the story. Sure, they got involved a couple of years ago with, sponsoring one radio guy, and it was all political, and it was all a big joke. Still is, as far as I'm concerned. The DLC people, so that they could say they did something. And, well, don't get me started on that subject. But anyway, I think it's important, and it's imperative, that the Democrats get their message out now. And we're just going to have to work doubly hard to do it, because once again, and you can see it happening. You can see it happening. They're getting the best of us in the media. Cut and run. How many times have you heard that lately? All the Democrats, you get them elected, and they're going to cut and run. That's what they like to talk about. And, you've heard them all on there. A vote for Lamont, a vote for Al-Qaeda. And, you've got Orrin Hatch even saying stuff like that now. They get it out there. They do. And we don't. And so we've got to work harder. And the thing they're going at right now, they're really going at it hard right now, is, how we Republicans will keep you safe. We will keep you safe. You will be less safe with Democrats in office. That's it. Never, the thing is, we are less safe with Republicans in office. You know that. I know that. It's been proven over and over and over again that we are less safe right now than we've probably ever been. And it's because of this Republican administration. We are less safe. Never let the American people forget that. That's our job. Never let them forget it. It's not propaganda. It's not stretching the truth. It's not fear-mongering. It's an undeniable fact. Had the Brits and the Pakistanis not done lots of undercover work on this latest bomb allegation, it is possible, mind you, that we could have had thousands of American citizens blown to bits over the Atlantic Ocean. We had nothing to do with that. And it's quite possible that a nuclear bomb can be sent here on a cargo ship and detonated in one of our busy ports in a major city, killing maybe hundreds of thousands of people. And it's possible that a train car loaded with lethal chemicals or gas can be blown up, causing the deaths of countless Americans. Our nuclear facilities have only minimal security. And so our job, you and I, we've got to tell everybody we know, never allow the American people to forget that we are much less safe now than we were when 9/11 took place. We're much less safe right now. Never let them forget that a great deal of hatred is directed at our nation because of the actions of a president who, I think, frankly, is in way, way over his head. His stupid actions have inflamed the Arab world and triggered a hatred against our nation that it's going to take decades to defuse, if it's ever possible to do that at all. Bush and his people are in an all-out campaign to denigrate the Democratic Party as being soft on security, and that is pure bullshit. You know it, and I know it, and they know it too. But they know they can get away with saying it and pounding away at the press with it, and they know the American public will believe it if they say it enough. And they're sure as hell saying it a lot. How many horrible mistakes have to be made by this administration before the American people realize that Bush and his people are very, very dangerous to the welfare of the people of the United States? The Republican attack machine is in full battle mode right now, and we've got to counter it at every opportunity. We must spread the truth of the matter. We must alert the American people to the truth. And that truth is that this administration poses a grave danger to our country. This Republican Congress poses a grave danger to our country, not only from outside foes, but from within as well. And this warrantless wiretapping is one of the ways that they intend to do it. And just because it hasn't knocked at the door of millions of people in this country doesn't mean that they won't someday. Everybody's sitting back, well, as long as it doesn't bother me, I'm not doing anything wrong, I don't have to worry about it. So a federal court comes along and overturns it today, and has every good reason to overturn it. It is a rule that should not stand. It should not stand. There should not be warrantless wiretapping in this country. Never. But it will be overturned. It will be overturned. The Supreme Court will get this. This administration will appeal this. It'll go to the Supreme Court, and you mark my word, they'll overturn it in a blink of an eye. You know, the proof is there for everybody to see that we're less safe than we were before. But, you know, we've got to tell everybody you tell everybody you know, I'll tell everybody we know, we are less safe than we've ever been. Don't let it rest. That's a big deal with the American people right now. We're less safe. Got to yell it from the rooftops. Tell everybody you know. Write letters to the editor. You know, that's a great thing to do, is write letters to the editor of your local newspaper. Call in your talk shows. Get the word out that we are less safe. We are less safe now than we have been in a long, long time with this Bush administration. You know, let me give you an example. And by the way, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. I wonder now just who they're trying to make safe. I ran across a story today in the Boston Globe. Get a load of this. I'd like to hear what you have to say about this. This lets you know how damn concerned they are about your safety and my safety. I want to know whose safety that they're concerned about. This is out of the Boston Globe today. Since the early 1990s, a company called AS&E has made a machine called Smart Check. It's a $50,000 low-intensity X-ray scanner that can detect a container of organic compounds in a passenger's pocket. But is the liquid an explosive or a batch of baby formula? They say that the scanner, this other one called the First Defender, can answer the question whether it's a baby formula or an explosive. The device can see through glass or plastic bottles and identify any of 2,500 different chemical compounds in about 15 seconds. The FBI and New York City police already use this Ahura system, which went on sale about a year ago. Joe Rice, AS&E's vice president of marketing, said his company's smart check systems are used at the White House and the U.S. Supreme Court, but they're not widely used in airport security. TSA agreed last year to conduct tests of the system, but Rice said those tests had not yet begun. So Who are they concerned about? Now, I dare say the White, you know, the White House, I dare them to say that this system isn't reliable. Just have them say that this isn't reliable technology, because if it isn't reliable, then why is the White House using it for, you know, why are they using it? Our esteemed commander-in-chief must figure that his life is worth protecting and ours is not. The Boston Globe went on to say, but after this month's foiled terrorist plot to smuggle liquid explosive aboard jumbo jets, the government may not have the luxury to wait. Charles Sleepian, founder of the Foreseeable Risk Analysis Center, a transportation security firm in New York, said that technology for detecting explosives in carry-on bags is well understood and readily available, but the U.S. Department of Homeland Security is reluctant to spend the large sums needed to deploy it at hundreds of airports. He says, now they're embarrassed because they have to say that we have nothing in place, says Lepian. Shame on us. We've had the science for years. And why don't we have it in place? Because Bush and the Republicans who control Congress didn't give Homeland Security enough money. The TSA has not outfitted airports with the devices, in part because officials have to prioritize where they spend limited dollars, according to Frank Salufo, former special assistant to President Bush for Homeland Security. Odd, isn't it? Isn't it just very, very odd? We had loads of, you know, truckloads of money for massive tax cuts for the rich, over $300 billion for the Iraq War and counting. But not enough to stop terrorists from blowing up commercial airliners when we knew about this threat 10 years ago. And Bush and his pals want to tell the American public that they're keeping us safe? I think this absolutely proves that keeping them safe, themselves, that's where their priorities lie. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Guy, how are you doing? This is Sarge.
Hi, Sarge.
Hey, this Supreme Court, this ruling on the spying, I think this is probably a very key ruling, and our future really is going to depend on whether it stands or not. If these guys get this overturned, I think that we're going to see suppression of free speech like we've never seen before.
Absolutely.
Because they will start having Air America, Horn, blogs, they'll have them all started being shut down. And man, if this thing, it scares me. It really does. And you don't scare me easy. I'm you know, I went through Vietnam and all that stuff, but this is just horrifying. And if they overturn this, I don't know what we're going to do, Guy. What do you think?
Well, I would bet 100-1 that they do overturn it. I would. And, you know, of course, you know I don't think it should be overturned, but I don't think we have a chance in that fight. I really don't.
Well, why you think that? I'm curious.
It's a Republican Supreme Court.
Okay. So you're it's just a matter of what they want, and it won't have to make any sense, huh?
No, it doesn't have to make any sense anymore, and it doesn't have to be constitutional or anything even approaching that. This White House... And it's understood, I mean, you take a look at the appointees that have been put on this court. They went and said one thing at the Senate hearings, and then on the votes, they've marched the party line.
Yeah, well, you know, Guy, what I can't understand is these guys have proven, and you don't even have to really pay much attention to see that they haven't done anything right. So how do people stay so ignorant?
My theory on that, and I don't think it's a theory, I think it's a fact, they own the media, and it's that simple. When you put together a massive media campaign, and then the fact that about probably 30% of Americans aren't smart enough to tie their shoes, then you got a problem.
Boy, I tell you what, that makes me just want to work even harder on my columns at Powers and Morrison, and listen more to Horn and Air America and all these really great voices like yours that are out there. You guys, man, y'all are real patriots, and I applaud y'all.
Well, thanks. Thanks, and we're gonna work on it. I mean, it's a cause. It's a cause, and we've got to win this. I mean, there's no losing this. We cannot lose this. If we do, we lose our country.
Well, you know, Guy, like I was telling you yesterday, down here in Mississippi, as bad as the Katrina disaster is, we're all just one disaster away from fourth world.
Yeah.
So, Guy, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Sarge.
Have a wonderful show, sir.
Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the first step. It's the first step. Do any of you doubt? Do you really doubt that these guys have every intention of taking away all of the rights they can possibly get away from us? It's just, I don't want to sound like an extremist here, because I am not. Those of you that know me and have been with me on the radio for the last 3-4 years, you know I'm not an extremist. And you know it's not easy for me to even get involved in some of the conspiracy theories and all that sort of thing. You know it's, I'm the kind of guy that wants just absolute positive proof of everything in front of my face before I leave. But they're taking our rights away, folks, and they've got a reason to do it. It's subjugation, pure and simple. That's what they're after. They do not care about the Bill of Rights. They do not. Am I that cynical? Yes, I am. Do I think that people like Dick Cheney, who obviously is running the show, do I think Dick Cheney is the kind of guy that would stomp on our rights, take away our rights, do anything, and you know that word anything, I'm not gonna go into what I mean by anything other than anything means anything to get their way. And I mean anything. And they may have done anything to get their way. I don't trust them. I've never felt this way about, I mean, I've been a Democrat all my life. I have always abided by however any election came out and said, oh, well, we'll get them next time, and I'll back this guy, and I'll do the best I can. I didn't like Richard Nixon. I didn't like Ronald Reagan. I didn't like Bush 1. But at least I recognized him as the President of the United States, lawfully and legally the Presidents of the United States. And they were the President, and I would try my best to be a good American and, you know, help them accomplish good things. I do not feel that way about these people that are in power now. I heard somebody on the air the other day just say, well, you folks have a hatred of the Bush administration. And you know that's a word that I don't like, is hate. And I don't like to harbor hate in my heart. I've worked very hard never to do that. But I have to tell you, I hate everything these people stand for. I hate the policies they've come up with. I hate what they're after here to try and take away our rights. Little by little, drip, 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 drip. That's what they're doing. And why? So that they can control us, so that they can have all of the money. That's what it's about. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, guys, it's Terry again from Fort Myers.
Hi, Terry.
Yeah, I don't want to bother you on anything, but I'm going to take up a bunch of time. But I just wanted to put my 2 cents in on about that ruling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the way I read it is the judge really didn't have a choice but to rule against the Bush administration because they would not put any evidence forward stating that it would compromise security or some kind of deal. And when a suit is brought forward, and whoever is the defendant cannot provide any rebuttal to what is, you know, to the essence of the suit, they're going to lose. Okay, will this be overturned? Okay, I personally believe that if they're going to have a real difficult time without releasing that information that they don't want to release, which I personally feel is non-existent. Okay, I think it was just a stall tactic, and it was just kind of this self-deluded, you know, I'm God here on earth because God up there sent me down here, and I'm, you know, all of this other craziness. I'm the decider and all this craziness, right? But unless, if it does get overturned, I believe that there will be more challenges to the Supreme Court on the Supreme Court's ruling.
But how do you how do you challenge the Supreme Court?
You go back in and challenge the ruling. You appeal their ruling to them.
Well, you can appeal to the Supreme Court on a ruling they made, but has a
it has to have a different basis. But you can take the same topic. I mean, look at Roe v. Wade. Okay. There have been challenges to that in all kinds of courts, but it doesn't get to the Supreme Court until there's some other kind of
Here's the problem. If Roe v. Wade goes back to court now, it's not going back to the same court.
Correct.
We're locked into this court for a long time.
Unfortunately.
And they made sure of that. I mean, they were brilliant in doing this, picking the young guys, picking Roberts that they figured they could slide through because he's such a nice guy. They were brilliant with this. And the Democrats stood there and go, oh, you know, we've got to pick our battles.
I understand, but I think that they're going to have a tough time overturning that.
Well,
they have to produce some type of fact, okay, from other than, hey, it's going to hurt national security, you just got to run with it. No, that ain't going to work. That ain't how court works. It is on its face unconstitutional unless they can present facts to prove that it is not.
Oh, I don't doubt any of your suppositions here at all. I don't doubt them at all. I'm with you on all that.
Right.
All I'm saying is this court will respond to whatever Bush wants and do what he wants, whether it's constitutional or not. And then somebody's going to have to, like you said, we're going to have to take it back to the Supreme Court again, but it's going to be years because we're going to be facing the same court for years and won't be, it'll go on for years.
I see your point. I see what you're saying.
I can see no evidence that any of these people, you take your Alito, your Scalia, your Thomas, your Roberts, I can't see any evidence that any of those guys would waver whatsoever in not doing the bidding of George W. Bush. I hope I'm wrong on that. Oh, I hope I'm wrong on that.
Me too. I hope that they have some judicial integrity. Because that is what the whole essence of their existence there in the Supreme Court is.
Yeah, and I really believe, and I'm not being partisan in this. I'm not.
Right.
I really believe Roberts and Alito have already shown that they don't have any judicial integrity.
I concur.
That's why back when, when that was going on, I was jumping up and down and screaming and say, hey, we've got to do something here. And we got Harry Reid in there saying, well, we got to pick our fights and, we can't. Damn, that was the time to stand up and fight to the death over this. But nobody seemed to want to do it. Oh, well.
I think there needs to be a clean sweep.
Yeah, man.
I don't believe that anybody that's holding office right now at the U.S. level, senator or Congress, should. I think every one of them need to be gone.
I can't argue with that whatsoever. I can't. I think it's undeniable that the nation would be better off if we. You and I both going to make a lot of people mad saying this. You know that. Because a lot of people are partial to their own congressman, their own senator. You know how that goes. But I think it's absolutely undeniable that if we swept out the entire Congress right now and started with all new people, that we'd be better off. I don't think you can deny that at all.
If people get mad at me on my position, I don't really care because it comes down to one thing. It comes down to these people swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, and they have not. They have breached their oath. They are not fit to sit in the Senate or the Congress. End of story.
Yep, that's absolutely true. Absolutely true.
The issue goes no further than that.
I agree.
My argument goes no further than that. They violated their oath. They need to go.
I agree. Hey, thanks
for
your call.
I won't pick up any more of your time, buddy.
Hey, thank you.
Get a great show. Thanks for letting me come on.
Sure. Hey, uh, Oh, I see somebody on chat room says they don't agree. We should keep Conyers and Feingold. What you see now, I'm going to fight back on that. There are lots of good people, and I would say, you know, I love Dennis Kucinich. I do. I love Dennis Kucinich. I think Dennis Kucinich is a great guy. He's not my rep. He never was my rep, but I love Dennis Kucinich. I know Dennis Kucinich. But what I said was, I think it's undeniable that this country would be better off if we swept out the entire Congress and started with a new one. Yeah, we're going to probably sweep out a handful of really good ones with the really bad ones. It would be a good thing to clean house. And you know what? I'll bet you could almost get Dennis to agree with us on that. I have had this conversation with him not so long ago at a dinner, not 2 miles from where I'm sitting. And I think you could get him to go along with it. I really do. Dennis Kucinich is a great American. Quirky guy. Oh, he's as quirky as the day is long. He's a piece of work. He is. But you got to love Dennis Kucinich. You do. Believe me. And for all those of you that like Dennis Kucinich and maybe you've never met him, however great a guy you think he is, he's 10 times as good when you get to sit down and have dinner with him, start, you know, shooting the breeze with him. He's just fabulous. He's just a fabulous guy. And not just on politics, he's just real. He's just real. Okay, I'll give you. We're going to kick everybody out but Kucinich, and who else was it? John Conyers. See, I don't know John Conyers. I'm afraid I had a little dust-up with John Conyers, one of his staffers when I was in Washington the last time, so I can't say too much. Hey, I'm going to have to pause for a break right now, and just hang on. Don't go anywhere. I got a lot of requests to hear that song again. Going to play it right now. Susan Werner.
My strange nation has ocean on two sides and the Bama crimson tide in the south, tilted slightly toward the north. The immigrants pour forth seeking Phoenix and life hand to mouth. My strange nation tilts sharply to the right, with our leaders straight and white as our teeth. Our population's mixed, but our election's fixed in my strange nation, America. Strange nation built on the backs of slaves who were sailed here across the waves from far away. This cruel experiment was ended by a president who was both a Republican and gay. My strange nation gave the Indians our germ. They surrendered on our terms, as in died. Their survivors filed appeals, so we gave them roulette wheels in my strange nation, America. But my strange nation has lost its mind again, sending young women and men off to war for reasons that aren't clear, unless you're standing near to the rich and the righteous and the bored. And my strange nation, enamored of the cross, and who will win the toss of the coin, the circus and distract us from the dead in my strange nation, America. But my strange nation will surely mountains and its lakes, tornadoes and earthquakes, for its poets and pioneers, for its fetishes and fears, for its freedom of dissent, for its greasy government, and I will not change the stance. I will not move to France. I will always hold out one more chance for my strange nation.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
And we are back. And you know, hearing that Head On Radio Network ad and hearing Bob there talking about buying American-made clothing. But I want to tell you something about Head On Radio Network. We're not the big boys on the block yet. But I want to serve notice to everybody else out there. We're coming for you. Okay? You understand what I'm talking about? We're not a bunch of comedians. Not a one of us were ever a stand-up comedian. I don't think so. Bruce could be, but no. No stand-up comedians, no celebrities here, just plain folks talking straight talk every single day. And I'm very proud that the Head On Radio Network is coming into each and every one of your homes, and we have just given birth to this new network. And it's going to prosper and it's going to flourish, and we're going to stick with it, and we're going to work hard to make sure that we get the message out to America. We're not going to do it with hee-haw and all that sort of thing. No, we're going to do it with straight talk and the truth. That's what matters most. And thank you for everybody that that's tuning in today. Glad to have all of you along with us. We kind of, we were talking about the ruling today that took place about the illegal wiretapping, and you know, where's it going to lead? You know, next thing you know, all these people saying, well, I don't have anything to hide, they can, you know, how many have you talked to the right wingers on this? I've talked to a lot of them. Get the same damn answer from every single one of them. Got the same answer. Well, I don't have anything to hide. They can listen to any one of my conversations they want to. You know, they say that. Oh, they say that to you. But, you know, I know for a fact some of them would want their wives to hear some of their conversations with their mistresses, and maybe people get calling their bookie or like that. They don't want to mention that out in public now, do they? No. But they all say that. I don't have anything to hide. It's okay with me. If my president wants to, for my safety, if my president wants to wiretap everybody, well, that's okay. Well, that's just a start. And then what if they knock on your door, you know, with the black boots on and the, you know, fancy uniform someday and say, hey, we're going to come in and have a look around in your house. Well, no, I don't want you to come in. You're strangers. I don't know you. I don't want you to come into my house. Well, we're coming into your house, you see, and we're going to search your house. And we don't have a warrant because we don't need one. And, oh, by the way, we're going to seize your home computer here because, whatever. That's next. And we already had the fight over the minimum wage lately. Some fight. You know, keep them down. Keep them down. Keep them way down. Pay them as little as possible. Give them enough to eat. But how far off is the search and seizure? And for all you folks that own firearms, you know, I don't want to get involved in that firearm debate. I'm a country boy. Everybody I knew had a closet full of guns. Myself, I've never owned one. I don't want to get involved in that debate at all. But what about you folks? What about you right-wingers that got your closet full of guns? You got your fancy gun case there with your Krieghoff shotgun inside there that's worth, you know, $8,000 and everything. Come in and say, hey, you've got a house full of guns. We're taking them. All along, you've been saying it's the Democrats that want to take your guns. Oh, no. The Democrats aren't after your freedoms. No. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
I'd like to express some of the things that I wish that the Democrats would do and is stand up for us. And in voting, you know, don't go with the flow. Vote like for those Supreme Court justices, you know, instead of, I don't know why they feel like they've got to do that. I mean, why don't they listen to us? And if each individual stand up for what they believe, regardless of the party, you know.
Well, so many of them sit on the fence, like Nelson here in Florida.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to be estranged from the Republicans who vote for
him.
Yeah.
And the Republicans are laughing behind their backs, don't you think?
Absolutely. And, you know, if it were a perfect world, every vote cast in Congress, in the House and the Senate, every vote ever cast would be without regard to any political ramifications to it whatsoever. Just vote your conscience, that's all.
And talking about Nelson, I did write him about the, who's the guy that's the for torture?
Oh, Gonzalez?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I asked him not to vote for him, and then later, he did answer back and said that he felt like that it was he was the right person.
Well.
That, you know, so I said, okay, well.
So far, Bill Nelson's thought everybody that George Bush put up was the right person. That's the only problem there.
And this thing with Lieberman, did you hear about that he's ahead now in the polls?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's ahead in the polls up there.
Can you imagine what's going to happen if he keeps on spouting off and all those people keep on spouting off like they are? What kind of a Senate it's going to be?
Well, he's got a very good chance of being elected in Connecticut, a very good chance, and if he is, there's going to be a great amount of disappointment. But if he does, it'll be because of the Republicans.
They're behind him.
They're getting behind him. They're going to throw money his
even
way.
Even the president.
Yeah.
And another thing about him was I read an article yesterday that I'd never read before during the 2004 election. Supposedly he came down here into Florida to campaign for Kerry. And he went to some of the Jewish people, and he said, well, you know, Kerry's not very very good on defense. Bush is really better. But, you know, I believe you should vote for Kerry.
Well,
but he did everything but say that Kerry was weak on defense. He did say that.
Joe Lieberman's the biggest mistake Al Gore ever made.
But you know what? I was talking about that. I've thought a lot of times about that if Al Gore had gone in, you know, they would have destroyed him. And they would have said, oh, how wonderful. This man we have is so wonderful. He's, you know, he's next door to God, you know.
I know. Hey, we got to run for the news. Thank you, Anita.
Okay.
Bye now. Oh, yeah, we got another whole hour to go, and I hope you'll give us a call, 866-546-5254. Get your 2 cents worth in, maybe 3 or 4 cents. You never know. I want to hear what you have to say today on this gorgeous Thursday afternoon here in Paradise.
This is the Quality News Network. The Bush administration's domestic warrantless wiretap program has been declared unconstitutional by a federal judge in Detroit who has also ordered the program ended immediately. However, the White House is expected to ask for a stay pending appeal. Lebanese soldiers are beginning to take control of southern Lebanon for the first time in 40 years as they move across the Litani River to police the ceasefire between Hezbollah and Israel. 15,000 Lebanese troops are expected to be in the area by tomorrow. In Beirut, the international airport has been partially reopened to commercial traffic for the first time since July 13th. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas says Islamic Jihad militants have agreed to stop firing rockets into Israel from Gaza so long as Israel halts its offensive. The U.S. military reports that 10 Afghan police officers have been killed by a bomb mistakenly dropped by a U.S.-led coalition plane. The 10 were part of a two-vehicle border patrol unit in eastern Afghanistan. The incident is under investigation. In southern Afghanistan, gunmen have abducted as many as 20 people, including a doctor and 5 nurses, as they traveled to a refugee camp in Kandahar province. A former CIA contractor has been found guilty of beating an Afghan prisoner who died from his injuries 2 days later. He faces up to a dozen years in prison. The Marine Corps has charged one of its officers with assaulting 3 Iraqi civilians in April in Hamdaniya, west of Baghdad. And an Army officer who refused to serve in Iraq faces a hearing today at Fort Lewis, Washington, to determine whether he should be court-martialed. In Iraq, another 18 people have been killed, 10 of them by a car bomb in the Baghdad neighborhood known as Sadr City. One of the most wanted drug lords in the world has been captured while deep-sea fishing off the coast of Mexico. Authorities say Javier Arellano Felix led a violent Tijuana-based cartel that smuggled cocaine and marijuana into the United States. An arrest has been made in the 10-year-old murder of JonBenet Ramsey, the 6-year-old beauty queen found dead in her family's Colorado home. 41-year-old John Carr, a former elementary school teacher from Alabama, was arrested in Bangkok and is being flown to Denver. 55 years after a black couple, both of them civil rights workers, were killed by a Christmas Day explosion at their home in Florida, prosecutors have finally accused 4 Ku Klux Klan members of their murders. The couple's daughter says that although all 4 are now dead and will not face any punishment, the news still comes as a relief. And in Sri Lanka, government troops have reportedly killed nearly 100 Tamil rebels one day after the country's president said the door remains open for peace talks. This is the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
A federal jury in New Orleans has found that Merck must pay a retired FBI agent $50 million to compensate him for the heart attack he suffered while taking Vioxx. Merck has now lost 4 cases and won 5 in its defense of the drug. A privacy rights group has filed a complaint with the FTC alleging that AOL's recent release of its subscribers' search requests was intentional rather than an accident, as claimed by AOL. President Bush has signed legislation described as the most comprehensive reforms to America's pension system in over 30 years. As a first step in the permanent shutdown of the assembly line for its C-17 transport planes, Boeing will reportedly tell its suppliers tomorrow to stop producing parts for them. The reason? An anticipated loss of government funding for the Air Force Big Belly transporters that haul troops, tanks, and supplies to hotspots around the world. Australia's Qantas Airways is cutting more jobs, including 1,000 management and support positions. The workforce reduction follows a 30% drop in annual profits blamed on high fuel costs. Gold is trading this hour at $625.50 an ounce, down $13.50. Silver's at $12.04, and light sweet crude is trading down $1.59 a barrel at $70.30. The markets are all up this hour. The Dow Jones up 13 at 11,340. NASDAQ is up 9 at 2,159. And the S&P 500 is up by 2 at 1,297. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hello, we are back after the news. Hope you went out and got a snack or maybe even you listened to the news. How about that? I don't know. You know, I almost hate to tune into the news anymore. My God. I hear Katie Couric's talking about having some good news on the CBS Evening News. Where will she be able to find that, I wonder? I know there's good news out and about, but so much important stuff going on here in the country right now that we've got to take care of, and seems like most of it is bad news. I'd like some good news for the good old U.S. of A right now, wouldn't you? Sure would. Sure would like some good news for this country for a while. It would be a refreshing change. You know, before we went to the break at the top of the hour, and by the way, you can give us a call at 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. That's toll-free, by the way. And we've got a couple other numbers. If you live in Washington, D.C., you can call us at our Washington Bureau. Toll-free, 202-370-6153. And if you live in the Phoenix area, 623-444-5252. I think this warrantless wiretap is just a start. Do I think for one moment, do I believe the Cheneys of the world when they tell us it's just for our safety that they want to do this? The answer is no. Hell no. No. And only a fool would believe they want to do this just for your protection. That's not what it's all about. It may be part of what it's about, but it's not all of what it's about. We talked a little earlier before we went to break about, you know, what's next. They're going to knock on your door and search your house and seize your computer if they think, you know, they don't like you without a warrant. They're going to be able to do that? What about this latest thing that they're talking about? What was it? 40% of the American public? Have I got my numbers backwards? Was it 40% or 60% of the American? I forget which one it was. But a significant portion of American people thought it would be a good idea to have Muslims carry some sort of ID on them, identifying themselves as Muslim. Okay, let's do that. Let's tell the Bush administration, oh, yes, that's a good idea. I mean, we won't have to tell them that. They'll probably do it. And what's next? You get a knock on your door one day and say, hey, you know what? We're going to make you Catholics start carrying ID cards now, too. I know. But, you know, we make the Muslim people do it. And so we want you to start carrying a ID card, too. And then the Baptists, and then the Presbyterians, and then the Lutherans, and, you know how it goes. It's don't let that door open. Don't ever let them open that door. And folks, they've got their foot in the door right now, and we've got to get it out of there. We have to get it out of there. And it isn't about protecting us. Oh, to be sure. Some of our congressmen and all the people, they'll say it's for your protection. But it's not. Part of it is to control us. So if they want to make Muslims carry ID cards around, they'll probably do it. They'll find a way to do it. Oh, yeah, they'll find a way to do it. And many, many, many Americans, and I've talked to some, and perhaps you have as well. Yeah, let's have those dirty ragheads carry ID cards. That way we'll know who they are. We'll know where they're at all the time. We can keep them, you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, buddy, did you ever think it might be taking some of your rights away as well? No, I haven't done anything. Okay. Okay. You know, I got a great email from Richard Kinney down in Edgewood, Texas. He said, I heard the guy that claims to be president say the war on terror is fought on three fronts. This begs the question, if we're winning this, quote, war, then why has it spread to a third front? Seems odd that this, quote, war is spreading and we are winning. Can someone explain this to me? Well, Richard, I can't. I can't. I don't know. I don't know. It is odd, isn't it, that we're winning this war and yet, well, we've got the latest report come out about this mess. The number of roadside bombs planted in Iraq rose in July, and some of this came from the New York Times. The number of roadside bombs planted in Iraq rose in July to the highest monthly total of the entire war, offering more evidence that the anti-American insurgency has continued to strengthen despite the killing of Zarqawi. Oh, we got Zarqawi. We're going to be a lot safer now. We got Zarqawi. My God, this is wonderful. We're going to be safer now. Isn't it great? We got Saddam, we got Hussein Kusay, and I don't know Hussein, and we got Zarqawi. And even if they get bin Laden and Zawahiri, if they get all the leaders of that, it's not going to do anything towards stopping them. Nothing. Nothing. Because we've fostered a whole new generation of terrorists by our actions. I'm not saying that. Sometimes it's hard to say this without having people get confused over it. We're not responsible for all the terror that's happened in the world. I'm certainly not claiming that. Because there's going to be terror. There's going to be evil in this world no matter what. But we sure as hell have helped it along, don't you think? We've certainly lit the fuse on, man, have we ever. And so anyway, this new study that came out, the new report that came out, and it's in the New York Times today, a separate classified report by the Defense Intelligence Agency dated August 3rd details worsening security conditions inside the country and describes how Iraq's risk sliding towards civil war, according to several officials who have read the document or who have received a briefing on its contents. And, of course, you hear all the Bush administration, oh, no, there's no civil war over there. No, no, things are better. Things are better. The report's contents are being widely discussed amongst Pentagon officials, military commanders, and in particular on Capitol Hill, where concern among senior lawmakers of both parties is growing over a troubled dichotomy, even as Iraq takes important steps toward democracy, including the election of a permanent government this spring, the violence has gotten worse. Well, what a surprise. It's gotten worse. Senior Bush administration officials reject the idea that Iraq is on the verge of a civil war and state with unwavering confidence that the broad American strategy in Iraq remains on course. Stay the damn course. It's working so well right now. If staying the course was so well, why did he have to get off of the course and send a whole lot more troops into Baghdad? There's increased attacks on our soldiers. 70% of the roadside bombs are directed against American-led military forces. We've even got problems in Iraq now where there's fighting amongst the various factions. There's Sunni on Sunni and Shia on Shia, one militia group, or militia group against another of the same religious sect. Who the hell wants to get involved in that? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? How many guns were in that country to start out with? Man, oh man. But, you know, the Republicans, they talk about, well, we can't lose this war. We can't lose this war. You know, everybody loses in this. Everybody's losing in this. Everybody that's in, but, well, not everybody. Halliburton hasn't lost. And Bechtel hasn't lost. And KBR hasn't lost. And Boeing hasn't lost. And Martin Marietta hasn't lost. Well, quite a few of those folks, to come to think of it, haven't lost at all. No, they've taken home wheelbarrows full of cash. But for the people, everybody's lost in this war. Their people have lost. Our people have lost. The question is how much. Iraq is headed to, as they like to say, a low-intensity civil war and sectarian partition, more that way than to any kind of a stable democracy, according to the English former ambassador to Iraq. You know, he probably should have poked his head out of the green zone and asked a few Iraqis how they rate the intensity of the civil war before he stuck in that weaseling low-intensity part there. A couple of weeks ago, in a Senate hearing, two of our generals also found the guts to use the word civil war. I was shocked. I just about fell out of my chair when I saw Abizaid tell the Armed Service Committee that that if the sectarian violence isn't stopped, Iraq could move toward a civil war. I was absolutely shocked when he said that. And I wonder if they got admonished, him and General Pace. He said that Iraq could devolve into a civil war. I wonder if they got admonished by anybody in the administration after that happened. Bet they did. Bet they got a phone call from Rummy. You know, these are very cautious military men talking to a committee of very cautious senators. Even though McCain, I couldn't believe it when McCain said he used the term whack-a-mole. And that describes it perfectly. But it's a mess there. And it's a case study in losing. Recently, I read a case of a spectacularly costly failure at the Boeing company. It's a big, long story about it, and I won't bore you with it. But managers made a proposal, and the executives agreed to fund the proposal, and the project began, but the engineers couldn't get the thing to work, and so the managers lied about the failed test. Does this sound like SDI or what? But the managers lied about the failed test so they could keep the research and development money coming in. And the situation devolved into a fiasco, costing Boeing hundreds of millions of dollars. And when the executives discovered the project was a failure, they kept funding it because they didn't want to, quote, waste the money they'd already spent. In terms of where when I was raised, that's called throwing good money after bad. But in economics, they call it sunk cost. You know, there are situations when you have to walk away from a failure. No matter how much money, effort, or blood you put into it, it's never going to work. You'll never receive a positive return on your investment. You've got two choices. You can stop now and accept the loss, or you can keep going and make it a bigger loss. And in Iraq, Bush has got two choices. He can stop now and accept the loss, or keep going and make the loss bigger. But he's making the choice for two countries. And our military. And that military is yours and mine. It's not Bush's. He might be the commander-in-chief, but the reason only Congress is supposed to declare war is that the military belongs to the people, and Congress is supposed to represent the people. Bush has been to business school, at least they said he was. He knows about sunk cost, throwing good money after bad. David Broder said today Let me quote him. History and economics have their own logic. A military mission that fails to yield a victory does not always end in disaster. Today, virtually no one argues that we should have continued fighting in the North, fighting the North Koreans or the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese. But now we do business with Vietnam. South Korea is a spectacular success economically, and North Korea is contained so far. You know, Bush has been to business school. He bragged about it. He understands these sunk costs. This, as he liked to call himself, the CEO president, he should know what to do. But this decider can't seem to do it. Why? I think I know why. Who was it? Joe Scarborough. Is he the one that asked the other night? Johnny O says on the chat room, don't forget he did go through the 12 plans for booze he now has. Don't forget he did or he didn't. I didn't know he didn't. Scarborough actually asked on his program if George Bush is an idiot. I couldn't believe it when I saw that. And so and if maybe some of you saw that program, let's let George Bush that himself answer the question as whether or not he's an idiot. Okay? Let's let him speak for himself.
Take a look and decide for yourself.
I think tide turning, as I remember, I was raised in the desert, but tides kind of turn. It's easy to see a tide turn. Did I say those words? No question that the enemy has tried to spread sectarian violence. They use violence as a tool to do that. We need an energy bill that encourages consumption. Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
Idiot.
We must never stop thinking about how best to defend our country.
Idiot.
I'm the decider, and I decide what is best. The United States of America is engaged in a war against a extremist group of folks.
Families is where our nation finds hope. Where wings take dream.
If you don't stand for anything, you don't stand for anything. If you don't
Idiot.
Stand for something, you don't stand for anything.
Fool me once. Shame on...
Double idiot.
Shame on you. If you fool me, we can't get fooled again. In my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it.
At the high school level and find out that the literacy level of our children are appalling.
I hear there's rumors on the internets that we're going to have a draft. You're working hard to put food on your family.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
Tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereign. You've been given sovereignty and you're viewed as a sovereign entity. And therefore, the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
You underestimated the compassion of our country. I think they underestimated the will and determination of the commander in chief, too.
And they asked the question whether or not he's an idiot. I heard John Fun trying to say the other day that, well, he's just not. Because he's inarticulate doesn't mean that he's stupid. Yes, it does. Yeah. I believe in this case it does. He said enough stupid things. You know, Fund made the statement that, well, you know, they follow him around all day long and everything he says. They follow all the presidents around all day long. Do you see a list of things like that from Bill Clinton? The only quote you ever hear from Bill Clinton that they like to pass around is, I did not have sex with that woman. Ms. Lewinsky. That's the only one you ever hear. They've got a million of these. That's just a few. And they ask, you know, I got a rotten email from one of the local right wingers here the other day that just hates me. And that's all right. I don't know how he could hate me because I am just a really sweet guy. But he writes me this terrible email about What a bastard I am for saying naughty things about George W. Bush. How could I possibly disrespect the President of the United States? Well, let me ask you something. After you listen to that cut I just played there, how could you respect him? How could you respect anybody that talks that way? And here's another one. You remember the G8 conference? You remember the G8 conference and what an ass he made of himself at that thing? You remember about the pig? That's all he could talk about was the pig? They asked him important questions and he talked about the pig? Here.
President Bush was overseas in Germany as events unfolded. Here is his press conference with Chancellor Angela Merkel, Germany, where he wasted no time addressing the many troubling developments.
I'm looking forward to the feast you're going to have tonight. I understand I may have the honor of slicing the pig.
I'm just going to assume that that is some sort of euphemism for solving the Middle East crisis.
And I guess that's about all. We've discussed a lot of things, in other words. And thank you for having me. Looking forward to that pig tonight.
Does it concern you that the Beirut airport has been bombed? And do you see a risk of triggering a wider war? And on Iran, they've so far refused to respond. Is it now past the deadline, or do they still have more time to respond?
I thought you were going to ask about the pig.
You know, that's from John Stewart's show. Here you've got a war going on in the Middle East with potentially catastrophic consequences, not just for that area, but for all of us. They ask him a serious question about Beirut, and he answers about the pig. And somebody sends me an email that I've disrespected this guy? How the hell could you have any respect for him whatsoever? I've got great respect for the office of the Presidency of the United States. Great respect. And I've said it once and I've said it again. The day Richard Nixon stood in that room and resigned and walked out of that great White House, I had a tear in my eye. Not for Richard Nixon, but for the presidency. Jeez. I tell you. I listened to those cuts and I know there are people swear that you've phonied those tapes up, that they can't be that, because you know the average guy doesn't sit around and hear all these things all day long. Those particular cuts are a surprise to a lot of people when they hear them. Yeah, really, because you don't hear them on the nightly news. And the average guy, you know, you take the average 50-year-old guy, got home from the work at the bank, he got home in the evening. He's not watching John Stewart, probably the Republican. And so he hears these things, and he says, "Well, they've fixed those tapes. He didn't say that." Mm-hmm. It's just a lot like a lot of them. And have you run into this? You talk to the right wingers, and they say, "Well, you know, he graduated from Yale. He can't be stupid if he graduated from Yale." Are you kidding me? You know, I'm not disparaging the great school of Yale for that. I will condemn their practice of taking idiots in as long as they've got money and a name like Bush. What is it they call that program they've got at Yale? I don't think they do it anymore, but they had to. You know, he couldn't get into the University of Texas. Couldn't get into the University of Texas? And they took him at Yale? They had a name for that program. And I assume that Harvard and Princeton probably had them as well. That if your father and granddaddy went to school there, you could go there too, you know, if your name was somebody. And his name was somebody. And he got into Yale. Now, you know, and I know, that there is no way that guy just was talking there just now, and I don't know why I'm spending so much time on this, but it's got me riled up. There is no way that man that we just heard talking there right now is capable of graduating, doing the courses of study necessary, and passing them at a school like Yale University. No possible way that he could do it on the level. No way. You know, they talked about him getting a gentleman's C and him bragging about a gentleman's C. No. You can't be a complete idiot and get a C. You can't. Oh, my. You know, he's always talking about it's just such a hard job. Hard job being president. Nobody appreciates your hard work. Well, you know, you stop and think about it. The Iraqis aren't grateful for having their country reduced to rubble and their citizens killed by Americans because they're the enemy, or by other Iraqis because they got the wrong religion or the wrong name. And the Americans aren't very grateful for this great economy that we got right now that's enriching wealthy people, but not 99% of the Americans. The polls show that, 47% of us aren't even grateful for being safer from terrorism because we don't feel safer. The Lebanese aren't grateful that the U.S. gave Israel all the bombs and missiles they wanted to blow the living hell out of the entire country. But utterly failed, and completely failed to get Hezbollah out or defeated. Let's talk about that. Wish you would. 866-546-5254. Let's take a look at the scorecard in Lebanon. Blowing up airports, check. Great job. Blowing up fuel supplies, terrific. Blew them up. Blowing up bridges, yes, sir. Check. Blowing up the roads to get in and out of the country, check. Great job. Couldn't have done any better. Blowing up the infrastructure. Blowing up one apartment building after another, check, check, check. Great job. Killing kids, check. Killing women and children and other adults, check. Defeating Hezbollah? No dice, brothers. You didn't get it done. It was a defeat for Israel. I don't care how you look at it. And it's a defeat for the United States. Another blow to the reputation of the United States. It blew the hell out of that country. Did billions of dollars worth of damage with our blessing. And yet the main objective, defeating Hezbollah, like the guy from Hezbollah said, I've got three words. You think we're defeated? No, here's the three words. We're still here. And they are still there. And they're still a force. And they accomplished nothing. Nothing. It was a disaster. Killed all those people for nothing. And guess who will spend the money to rebuild that poor country of Lebanon? Yes, there's going to be lots of American dollars in there. I don't know. 866-546-5254. Give us a call.
Read about the sorry way he done somebody's daughter, chained her to a heavy thing and threw her in the water, and she sank into the darkness with their baby son inside her. A little piece of truth and beauty died, burning up the atmosphere and cutting down the trees. The billion-dollar bombing of a nation on his knees. Anyone not marching to their tune, they call it treason. Everyone says God is on his side. See the lightning, hear the cries of the wounded in a world in holy war. Mortal thunder from the skies, killing everything they say they're fighting for. Broken babies, broken homes, broken-hearted people dying every day. How'd this happen? What went wrong? Don't blame God, I swear to God, I heard him say, not in my name, not on my ground. I want nothing but the ending of the war. No more killing, or it's over. And the mystery won't matter anymore. Broken dreamers, broken rules, broken-hearted people just like me and you. We are children of the stars. Don't blame God, I swear to God, he's crying too. Not in my name, not on my ground. I want nothing but the ending of the war. No more killing, or it's over. And the mystery won't matter anymore. Read about the sorry way he done somebody's daughter, chained her to a heavy thing and threw her in the water. And she sank into the darkness with her baby son inside her. A little piece of truth and beauty died.
Ah, yes, well, they've asked again, and I'm going to answer it again, okay? on the chat room there, let me see, where do we got this here? Ah, this modern technology. Timber Monkey has asked, does anybody know who sang that My Strange Nation song during Guy's show yesterday? And yes, we talked about that early on in the show, so obviously, Timber Monkey, you were tardy. I don't know if I should give you this answer or not, since you were tardy, but we're going to forgive you this time. that was Susan Werner. Susan Werner, and you can Google her, Susan Werner, and find lots of good music on there that she does. I love that song. Somehow that song is really haunting to me. I like it. I do. Speaking of haunting, we were talking about our great president here before we went to... went away to break, and I got a couple of other things to say about that, and I hope you do too. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Okay? Give us a call. A friend of mine named Anwar Hussein sent me a little article, and I think he's going to post it on one of the blogs. I'm not sure. But... he likes to talk about George W. Bush. And let me just tell you what he had to say about George W. Bush. And since we played those idiot those idiot things there just a few minutes ago. The current president of the United States finds himself in God's company more often than any other modern American president. One has been hearing about George Bush's close encounters with God for years now. We've all heard about how God talks to the president, giving him instructions on how to conduct foreign policy, particularly which countries to invade. Quite evidently, President George W. Bush did a good job at following orders because he's gotten reelected to a second term. President Bush has never disputed the story recounted in the Israeli newspaper Haaretz that he himself told the Palestinian leadership, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them, and then he instructed me to strike at Saddam, unquote. Then we have a similar account, courtesy of the Globe and Mail of London, of the president telling the Canadian prime minister he was carrying out divine commands. Okay? As recently... as Wednesday, the 21st of September, 2005, while speaking at a luncheon at the Republican Jewish Coalition 20th anniversary, Mr. Bush said that he had been, quote, thinking a lot, unquote, and came to the conclusion, you know, that right there, that he'd been thinking a lot. That's scary. You stop and think about it. When Bush actually sits down and says, okay, I'm going to think, that's a problem for me, okay? I think it's a problem for the whole world. But anyway, he said he came to the conclusion that they, the terrorists, are the kind of people who look at Katrina and wish they had caused it. End quote. And there is no way of knowing what other people have in their minds. It can be safely assumed that it is once again God talking to President Bush. There are a few objections the scribe has to these God-Bush summit meetings. Firstly, God does not tell him the whole thing, only part thereof. In this latest case, for example, God did not tell him that countries like Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Jordan, Yemen, etc., terrorist breeding grounds otherwise, have offered hundreds of millions of dollars in aid, besides a whole range of other humanitarian assistance with the full blessing of their peoples. God did not tell him that Iran, his next axis of evil target, has offered to send in 20 million barrels of oil on the side, this is for Katrina, to the U.S. State Department that relies more on diplomatic correspondence. These facts were, however, known in great details at the State Department. God did not inform the president that when he would be bogged down in Iraq, God is going to be hitting America with terrible hurricanes one after another, and the resultant damage will make impossible demands on the non-existent dinero in his treasury for rebuilding the Gulf Coast. Further, when God sent Hurricane Katrina, he did not tell the president that it was not okay to play the guitar and eat cake while the people were drowning in New Orleans. He did not tell him not to hire heck of a job Brownie 2 years earlier. Secondly, and this is more ironic, the president claims that all peoples worship the same God. He told the visiting leader of Turkey that they both believe in the Almighty. Answering a British reporter's question about the God of Islam being the same as the God of Christianity, President Bush replied, "I believe we worship the same God." Then in October 26, 2004, Good Morning American interview with Charles Gibson, he was asked, "Do we all worship the same God, Christian and Muslim?" His reply, "I think we do." If true, this means two things. One, President Bush, the Taliban, and Bin Laden and company all pray to the same God. Two, all the killing and dying is done in his name. The only difference is that George Bush strikes them in God's name, and they retaliate in God's name. He invades their country in God's name, they resist in God's name. He kills in God's name, and they die in God's name. George Bush eliminates a few terrorists in God's name. Countless more come forward to take their place in God's name. There are more terrorists now fighting America in God's name than there ever were at any point in time before. If his God is different, then his God is unique. His God orders him to kill other gods' children, especially if those children are of a different hue and color and are found in the near vicinity of a liquid called oil. That, to say the least, is being very vengeful. Next, President Bush's God does not forbid him from lying. This is very disturbing because one hears gods do not take kindly to liars. Take, for example, the case of the Iraq War. God told him to make war on Iraq, but forgot to tell him not to tell humongous lies in the process. Had he informed the president that lies don't travel far for the simple fact that they don't have legs, or had he shown the full future to the U.S. president, George Bush would have been saved the equally huge embarrassment of his own September 11 commission officially acknowledging that Iraq was not involved in the terrorist attack on America, the U.S. military giving up the search for the non-existent WMDs, and him having to shamefully shift to freedom as the current war cry. He also did not tell him that the president's Iraq war is going to kill hundreds of thousands of God's other children, including thousands of newborns. God also did not tell the president that his use of depleted uranium in Iraq will cause the birth of hideously deformed babies, babies that were otherwise supposed to be the same God's most beautiful creations. God did not tell him that the Iraq war will become unwinnable, not only because the sandal-footed Iraqis will give his troops a sound beating, but also because there will be no more mullah in the state exchequer to sustain the $1 billion a week war. The strangest aspect of George's communion with God remains the fact that he's always told to bring freedom to those of God's people who are in close vicinity to oil. He does not tell them to strike the North Koreans, for example, whose rulers are not only godless, but have repeatedly declared their WMD building intentions and whose malnourished people are in the most urgent need of freedom. No oil. President Bush's God, not interested. Very ungodly, one must say, unless in the presidential lexicon, God really is a code name for Halliburton, Carlyle Group, Enron, Bechtel and Company. Then all these omissions and commissions of such presidential powwows with God become instantly clear. But seriously, this president does say he talks to God on a regular basis, prays frequently, and trusts the guidance that God gives him. This apparently would make him God's choice. So if President George Bush really does talk to God, and he really believes that he's on God's mission, then we're witnessing history being unfolded by the Almighty Interpreter of Almighty God. All this killing, all this bloodshed, all this rape, loot, plunder must be what God wants. God also, it appears, does not like the Iraqi people. First, he sent Saddam Hussein upon them to kill them in the thousands, and not satisfied, he next sent in George Bush to kill them in the hundreds of thousands. Is this why they say strange are God's ways? By all accounts, a huge 40% of Americans still believe this cock and bull story of President George Bush's godly powwows. Are those Americans really so gullible? Do they not know that human history is replete with unhinged dictators with a God complex, conceited leaders with a talent in exploitation, self-righteous and egotistical political elites, and bigoted religious leaders who would go to any length to perpetuate their rule? Do they need to be informed of the supporting cast of bloodsuckers, money grubbers, and human lowlifes who can really put on a gaudy show full of sadism, trickery, and revolting absurdity? Manuel Noriega, the Panama dictator and former American stooge, declined an interview meeting on the ground. And as he put it in a letter to the interview seeker, that he was by no means yet in the category of forgotten dictators. God, he explained, has not yet written the last word on Manuel A. Noriega. Seems even the devil can quote scriptures. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, it's Dave Guy.
Hi, Dave.
Are you up to a couple more presidential trivias?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. What two people held the office of president without ever being elected to either the presidency or the vice presidency?
Well, let's see. Gerald Ford.
Gerald Ford.
And the other one's going to be tough.
No, not really. You speak of him often.
Without being elected to the presidency or the vice presidency.
W. Bush.
Trick question, Dave.
Yes. And another one is if the president occupant of the White House is the 43rd, whenever you add up all the presidents that preceded him, you always come up one short. Why would that be?
I'm afraid.
I bet you know it. But
I think you got me. I'm not good at this on the.
Well, I'll bet you do know it. That the 22nd and the 24th president of the United States was the same person. Grover Cleveland was.
He ran
against Benjamin Harrison three times, and Harrison won the one in the middle.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Cleveland became the 42nd and the 22nd and 24th. Well, anyway, you really do spell out what we're up against, and I so appreciate that, Guy. The fact that maybe another good trivia question would be what president has an IQ exactly between a telephone pole and Bill Clinton? And the fact that he's stupid doesn't mean he's not dangerous. You know?
That's right. A lot of stupid people are very dangerous. Prisons are full of them.
Yeah. Yep. And it gives me very, very little comfort to know that he keeps his finger on the button that can set off a nuclear.
I know what you mean. I constantly worry that we're going to turn on the tube or pick up the newspaper in the morning and see that he's done something god-awful. I worry about that every day.
I don't feel real God. The God that he talks with, that talks with him, you know, no telling what might be said there, you know.
Yeah. I've got a funny little piece to read about that, concerning that, in a couple of minutes, since we're on the subject.
Well, time is precious, and I appreciate all that you do, brother. So get back to your subject, huh?
Hey, thanks, Dave.
All right.
You still got time to call 866-546-5254. Somebody sent me this, an email. It's from the Assimilated Press. And some rather clever writing over there, I must say. Assimilatedpress.blogspot.com. God fires Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, and James Dobson. Colorado Springs, Colorado. In an announcement that took many by surprise, God today demanded the immediate resignations of Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, and James Dobson as his self-proclaimed spokesman. In a personal fax sent to each of these quasi-religious representatives, God stated that, quote, because the three of you have consistently misstated and perverted my teachings for your own aggrandizement, I am therefore forced to order each one of you to cease and desist using my name for your personal profit. This command is effective immediately. Any violations will be dealt with severely, end quote. Authenticity of the fax document was verified by several scholars who said it produced a divine brightness and was not of this world and could only have come from the Creator. Professor Richard T. Fenwick of Harvard University School of Divinity said, quote, there is no doubt that it is original. We can tell by the masterly use of language and the heavenly calligraphy. Clearly, this came from the man himself. Well, upon reading this document, witnesses reported that Falwell, Robertson, and Dobson all turned ghostly white and dropped to their knees while begging forgiveness for being wanton scam artists who prey on the ignorance and prejudices of the public. Liberty University, Focus on the Family, and the Christian Broadcasting Network will all be having going out of business sales at the end of the month. Assimilatedpress.blogspot.com. You'll find some funny stuff on there. You really will. God fired these guys. Well, I can't think of three guys that ought to be fired any more than those three. Truly, I cannot. You still got time to call in. Hey, I came across... it's down to the end of the show, and I guess I got time to talk about this, and so I will. This is disturbing to me. CBS had a story out today. I think they ripped this off from the Christian Science Monitor. By Patrick Johnson. I've seen a little bit of this on the tube of what they're talking about here, but not a lot. But this story is quite disturbing. Carl Garrett, a paper mill technician in Leicester, North Carolina, is scheduled to travel September 2nd to New Delhi, where he will undergo two operations. Though American individuals have gone abroad for cheaper operations, Mr. Garrett is a pioneer of sorts. He is a test case for his company, Blue Ridge Paper Products Incorporated in North Carolina, which is set to provide a health benefit plan that allows its employees and their dependents to obtain medical care overseas beginning in 2007. It's brand new, and nobody's ever heard of going to India or even South Carolina for an operation, they said. So it's all pretty foreign to people here, says Garrett. It's a frontier. Garrett's medical care alone may save his company $50,000. And instead of winding up $20,000 in debt to have the operations in the U.S., he may now get up to $10,000 back as a share of the savings. He'll also get to see the Taj Mahal as part of a two-day tour before the surgery. His two operations could cost $100,000 in the U.S. They'll run about $20,000 in India. With U.S. health insurance costs soaring, cash squeeze companies such as Blue Ridge and poor states such as West Virginia are considering affordable plans that may require, let me restate that, state it again, may require their employees to travel to India, Thailand, or Indonesia. This is not a joke. Critics say that limited malpractice laws in foreign countries make such travel risky, as well as the prospect of spending 20 hours on an airplane after invasive surgery. But despite the concerns, medical tourism is morphing into global health care. Global health care is coming, and American health care, which is pricing itself out of reach, needs to know there are alternatives in order to improve, says Alan Enhoven, senior fellow at the Center for Health Policy in Stanford, California. The average American hospital bill was $6,280 in 2004, twice that of any other Western country, according to the National Coalition on Healthcare in Washington, D.C. The cost savings have prompted a few hundred Americans this year to fly to India, Jakarta, or Bangkok for serious medical conditions, receiving heart stents and hip replacements. But most of the some 150,000 medical tourists nationwide go for a tooth filling or plastic surgery and a week at a sunny beach resort where the dollar stretches like Lycra. More companies, especially those with smaller company-run plans, are investigating people's claims of good overseas hospital care. And folks, there is good overseas hospital care available. There is. Companies are also attracted to the relatively inexpensive price tag for care at foreign hospitals, which have been reported to be up to 80% less than in the U.S. Now get this. In New Delhi, for example, the Apollo chain of hospitals, and I did a little research on the Apollo chain of hospitals. They're just as nice as what you see here in this country. Maybe not quite all the frills with the fancy lobbies and so forth, but very, very good healthcare places. The Apollo chain of hospitals gives resort-style convalescence care for $87 a night. Insurers Health Net of California already contracts with medical clinics on the Mexico side of the U.S. border. A West Virginia state legislator introduced a bill this year that would encourage state workers to seek treatment overseas, giving incentives such as cash bonuses and family travel. Folks, I'm not denying that you can't get great medical care overseas, and I don't blame these people one bit for doing what they're doing. You can get... Hell, a lot of our doctors are from overseas. You know that. My point is, isn't it a shame? Isn't it a shame that we live in the richest nation on this planet? And we've got as fine a health care as you can get anywhere on this planet. And yet a big percentage of the people in this country now can't even afford to go to the emergency room, go to the doctor. And God forbid they have to go to the hospital. Isn't it a shame? Isn't it a sad testament to the shape that this country's in that the money grubbers, the real money grubbers, are winning the battle, forcing the masses out in favor of those who can pay the big bucks? I think it's criminal that Americans are forced to seek health care outside of this country. It's absolutely criminal. I don't care which party you're in, which political party you're in. It's wrong, and we need to start working on that and do something about it. It's time one of our parties did something meaningful to change that. It's a horrendous situation. I found that story very, very, very disconcerting. You can find it on CBS's website and read the rest of it. Well, I do want to thank you for being with us today. I do want to remind you that this is a listener-supported program, and we could use your help. Not kidding about that. You can go to the Guy James website, www.theguyjamesshow.com, and